Karen Mason performing May 17th to the 20th at Davenport's. I'll tell you more about it because I want to concentrate now on Rana Weinberg. Rana, welcome to the show. Thank you for getting me the book on Bittersweet Place. I get a lot of books, as you can imagine, and so my normal course of action is to open them and start reading the first couple of pages, and I was beyond hooked by the story of a young woman coming of age in Chicago in the early part of the 20th century. You had a very, very highly praised collection of short stories published in 2006. This is your first novel. Tell me, how arduous is that chore of writing a first novel?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure.
To be here, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed the book. Writing a novel is a very, I don't know if it's an arduous process, but it's really a long-term project.
It
takes a long time to write a novel. So when I began this novel, I actually envisioned it as a collection of linked short stories about a Russian girl and her family. But when I started to write a couple of stories, I realized I had enough material for a novel.
There's a grand tradition of the, you know, sort of Jewish immigrant story, and most of them, with the exception of a certain Mr. Saul Bellow of Chicago fame, most of them are generally set in New York. What made you choose, and I think it's a brilliant choice, Chicago? You did not grow up here. I know you have relatives here, but you did not grow up here. What made you choose Chicago?
Thank you. Actually, I did. Well, I grew up in Lincolnwood, so outside of
Close
Chicago.
Enough.
But yeah, but I chose Chicago because I thought it would be a different place than New York and maybe a less harsh place for an immigrant family. And I wanted to do something a little bit different than what other people had done.
And Bittersweet, being a real street here, you have some, do you not, familiarity with that street, yes?
Yes, my aunt and uncle lived on the street when I was a young child, and I had visited it, and the name always had a certain resonance for me. So I just thought it would be a good place to put Lena and her family. I liked the area and the name.
Do you mind if I read a little something from your book?
No, I'd love for you to read it. Thank you.
Well, this is set October 1925. Bittersweet Place was just one block long and narrow like a snake, a street that went nowhere, I thought. It stopped at Clarendon to the west and at what my father called, quote, the street with no name, end quote, to the east. Our street had such an odd name, not a beautiful one like others in the neighborhood, Belle Plain or Cornelia. I wondered how something could be both bitter and sweet and why we had to end up here at all. That, Rona, is lovely, lovely writing. How you spent some time at various
Thank
foundations,
you.
Including Ragdale. I don't want you to have to give away your secrets, but this book seems like one you can't possibly run a dash off a paragraph like that, can you? That is a paragraph that one would necessarily work pretty hard to craft, yes? Or are you just a literary genius?
No, I think it took some time to craft. I mean, I think what happens is, as a writer, I have an idea and I write a few sentences, and then I really have to chisel it and work at it to make it have some sort of rhythm. And in fact, with that particular section, it was interesting because the street with no name is actually Marine Drive
now.
Yeah,
sure.
And when I was writing the book, I realized that I didn't know whether or not the street was called Marine Drive in the 1920s. So I called someone at the Chicago Public Library, and they actually looked at some old maps for me, and they said that the street didn't have a name at that time.
That's fabulous.
So
one of the other things that I got from your book, and I know you did grow up in Lincolnwood, it does not give you a familiarity with Chicago of the 1920s and teens. How much research did you have to do? Or did you feel you know, the imagination is one thing, but this book is really finely grounded in Chicago of that time. Did you do deep research, or did you allow imagination to take over?
Well, it was a combination. I imagined a lot, but I had to do research about some of the details of the city, like the Wrigley Building, you know, when that was built, what the lake was like at that time, what daily life was like. So I had to do research. Also, I wanted to find out where streetcars and buses ran, just so that things would be very grounded and very factual.
Well, I'm going to read, I want to read something else that I think really captures. There are a lot of paragraphs I could read. I could, you know, sort of put you on hold, frankly, Rana, and just read from the book. But this is one of the paragraphs that grabbed me. And as I said, when I get a book, I will, with a very nice note from you, I will start the book, and if I'm not grabbed in a little while, there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? I'll put it down. But the second paragraph of your book is this. From the open window, I imagined I could see all the way to Maxwell Street, where pushcarts squeezed one next to another like squatters' houses, where the odors of sweet warm breads and foul raw chicken rose in the air. If I walked east from the apartment, I knew I would find the blue waters of Lake Michigan. That, too, Rana, is a beautifully wrought paragraph. Are you, as a writer, when I say that, how do you feel about that? And I'm not talking about the praise of it. Is there any sense of reward for the work that you put into a paragraph like that? Because that, too, cannot be one that just, you know, fell out of your computer.
Well, first of all, thank you for reading it and for saying that. And it's gratifying that the paragraph works for you, because I did work hard on the sentences in the paragraph. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard to get something to work. So yeah. I'm really pleased that you as a reader enjoyed it and that it really spoke to you.
Well, we will talk. And then on the following page, and this book begins with, I think, what is a terrific bang. It doesn't begin with a murder. It's not a murder mystery. It is very much a coming of age, and many of the things that Lena goes through are not at all pleasant. We will get into adventures of Lena. I don't mean to compare it with Augie March, because she's quite a different kind of character with Rana Weinberg. When we return momentarily, you can go to Rana's website, which is a very nice website, RonanaWeinberg.com.
It's actually Wine.
Oh, Wine. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed.
Right. Yeah, that's okay.
Wine. You people are smart. You'll get it. We will be back with Rana momentarily. Rana Weinberg has written a marvelous, moving, and exciting novel titled On Bittersweet Place, set in Chicago mostly in the 1920s. It is the story of a young girl named Lena Zernitsky and her trials and tribulations, Rana. But the thing about this young woman is her voice is unbelievably distinctive, I think, and so endearing. Is that a good read of this young woman?
Thank you. Yes, that's what I hoped for, and I really worked hard to try and capture her voice.
Yeah,
so I'm happy that it worked.
Well, it does. It does work. She goes through some tough times, does she not? I don't want you to give away much, but there are trials and tribulations here that, in one specific instance, and you know what I'm talking about, could be could be almost crippling. But you also, she has such a wonderful outlook. Again, early on in the book, in the prologue, she writes down a list of her fears. I will never speak good English, will not have one American friend, will not be attacked on the street by an American patrulla. I will lose someone dear to me. I will never have a home that is safe. I will never grow up. I will never, ever know happiness again. That's unbelievably moving. She does indeed find, I'm not trying to make this some kind of modern day horror story. She does indeed find happiness, but her life reflects the struggles that I think it's kind of a universal in the way that anybody new to a place will withstand the slings and arrows of that place, don't you think?
Yes, yes, I think so. And I think as an immigrant during that time, many people probably went through not the same but similar struggles.
I'm sure you're hearing from, especially from readers in Chicago, that, oh, this little girl reminds me of my grandmother. This little girl reminds me of my mom. Have you been hearing that?
Yes, I have. Some people have said that, you know, they've heard family stories that are similar to that.
Where did you find...
Which is interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Where did you find her voice?
I just, you know, I really experimented with it. I wrote... when I was writing at first, the first couple of chapters, I had the plot, but I didn't have the voice.
Yeah.
And so I just kept on doing it again and again. And actually, when I came to the chapter on Leah Grace, I finally kind of captured her voice. And then I was able to go back and change her voice at the beginning. And as I moved through the novel, her voice became more distinct. So one of my revision projects was to really to go back and work on the voice so that it was consistent.
Well, I think that is work. That is a time for you well spent. You do mention, you just mentioned the rape. She is raped by a relative. And that is I found it a very chilling moment in this saga. Was that hard to write?
It was hard to write. It was very hard to write. It was upsetting to have that happen to her. And I also had to decide how, you know, how vividly and graphically I wanted to make it. So I wanted it to be, you know, something that was really invasive and difficult, but maybe not the worst thing possible. So I rewrote that many times. I worked on that.
She does. I'm kind of was taken too with her. She gets a boyfriend, and that's I find him a fascinating character. And that relationship, again, a relationship of serious ups and downs. That too is a highlight, I think, of this novel.
Uh huh. I'm glad. I really liked the character of the boyfriend, and I
Max,
liked their
yeah.
relationship developed. Max, yeah. It was fun to write about, and it was wonderful to see how their relationship developed. When I began the novel, I didn't know that they would have a relationship.
Sure.
I didn't even know that he would be an important character. So
that is one of the joys of literature, though, when you dive in. It's kind of like, in many ways, it's kind of like swimming in a river. You're in the river, but you don't know quite what the next bend might show you. Is that a idiotically metaphorical way to put it, or no?
Yeah, no, that's a very good way to put it. You're swimming along, and you don't know what you'll see or discover or what will occur to you.
When you,
when
you finish the book, was there a sense of... maybe not when you finish, because I've talked to enough novelists. It's kind of when you saw the book, when the book arrived at your house, and it's a beautiful cover. I love these sort of vintage, the real vintage look of the cover. Did you feel empowered? How did you feel finishing your first novel?
It was really thrilling to hold the book in my hands
because
it was such a long process. It was just like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you liked the cover.
I love it.
I was thrilled to see the cover too. So it was just a wonderful experience, you know, to know that I'd completed a novel, and not only completed it, but that it was published.
In this book publishing era, that is a triumph, Rana. That is a triumph. You spent some time at Ragdale, which is one of the most beautiful writers' colonies in the world, which happens to be here in Lake Forest. Did you work on this book while you were there?
I did. I worked on parts of the book when I was there.
That kind of thing, that foundation support for a writer is I think you thank them in the acknowledgments.
Yes.
That's an essential element. You got to get. Don't you think you've got to get away to focus a bit?
It really helps. It's just wonderful to go away and focus on the writing, because when you're not distracted, so many things occur to you. For example, when I was at Ragdale, I visited Lake Michigan a lot, and that helped me with some of the sections on the lake and describing it and just the feeling of being there.
What's your next, what are you working on?
Well, I'm working on some more stories, and I'm working on another novel.
Set in Chicago, dare I ask?
No, this novel is set in Denver.
Denver? What?
Yes.
You live in New York, right?
Yes, I do. But I did at one time live in Denver.
Oh, okay. So there is some connection. I think I ordered your short story collection, by the way, after finishing this, because this is a very, very, very accomplished novel, and coming of age novels are not my thing, but I cannot tell you how hooked I was on those first two pages, and read through it in half a day, I think, or a long night. And I've underlined a million different things in here. I do that with books. I think of them as mine and pristine, and these are my underlinings in here. To your credit, Rana Weinberg, On Bittersweet Place is a great Chicago novel. I'll leave it at that. How's that?
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm really thrilled that you like the book.
Very much. Very, very much. And I really adore the character. You know, my father's family being Russian Jews, too, so there's that. You got that going for
that
you
when
it comes to me, Rana. The next time, how often do you get to Chicago?
I get to Chicago maybe once a year or so.
Okay.
I actually may be coming in the summer to visit some family.
Let me know, and then you can come in here and we can meet face to face and talk more about writing, which is arduous, ladies and gentlemen, but it can also be joyful, can it not?
That's true. It's both.
Pleasure to meet you, and even a greater pleasure, I must tell you, to read you. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, that's very sweet. It's called On Bittersweet Place, Rana Weinberg, RonanaWineberg.com. It's a lovely website, too. Well, congratulations. It's the first novel can be the beginning of great things, and I hope it is for you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay, you too.
It is a good book, ladies and gentlemen. A fine, fine book. We're going to be talking about another book in a few minutes. It's my great friend Laura Caldwell helped put this book together, and it is at once chilling, hopeful, frightening, a lot of things. It's called Anatomy of Innocence, Testimonies from the Wrongfully Convicted. So please, please stay tuned.